Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and stay tuned for Pastor Andy Rusnacko. That'll be coming on at 2 o'clock. It'll be a blessing to you as well. Hope you were on the last half hour with Pastor Lutz as well. Always a blessing. But we're going to get into our program here today. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we'll have some more information about the church and where we're at, but certainly give you an invitation to come out and visit us. Let's open our program with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. We just pray that you'd use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be an encouragement to somebody today, to point people to Christ that are searching, and encourage believers in their walk with you. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, what a day. It's northeastern Ohio. These are kind of interesting spring days, a little cool, the clouds rolling through, but every once in a while the sun pops out, and when it does, oh, you can really feel the warmth. It's nice, and we're well on our way headed towards summer, and then we'll all be complaining about how hot it is, won't we? Well, at any rate, this is the day the Lord hath made. The Bible says we ought to be glad and rejoice in it, and we ought to rejoice in all things, the Bible says as well. So we rejoice in this day. Well, talking about days, this is something I wanted to talk about here today. I've been reading a number of things, looking at some things here, and in Luke chapter 17, I want to touch on something here, so I'll give you a chance to go to Luke chapter 17 if you got a Bible, and we're going to look at something there, and while you're turning there, I want to remind you that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and if you go there, you can see some of the different things we have there, but you can also link to a variety of things, some articles that I've written, some past radio programs. You can find them there. You can also link to our page for our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and certainly give you an invitation to visit us there. We have our Friday night Bible study tonight starting at 7 o'clock. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. That's Northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, and right where Interstate 77 and the Ohio Turnpike cross. In the meeting room, you can actually look out and see the toll booths for the turnpike. That's how close we are. I say that a lot of times because I remember different places when my wife and I were missionaries on deputation, somebody would say, well, brother, we're right off the highway. You get right off the highway and there we are. And I'd ask for directions and they'd say, yeah, it's right there, right at where the highway exit is. You just turn right, head about 10 miles down the road and you can't miss us. So some people's version of right off the highway is different than others, but we are literally right there within sight of the turnpike and right off the highway there. Invite you to come out and visit if you don't have a church, if you don't have a church that preaches the Word of God, if you don't have a church that's currently meeting, we'd love to have you come. And we'll be there tonight from 7 to 5, an informal Bible study where people bring questions and topics, and we look at them in light of God's Word, open up the Word of God, much like we do on the radio on our Sunday night program here every Sunday night, 11 o'clock till midnight, where we have questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And we do that. It's informal. We have refreshments, and it's always an enjoyable time. It's one of my favorite times of the week is our Friday night Bible study. And then on Sunday mornings, we have our services in the same location at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, or Richfield Holiday Inn Express. It's where the Richfield Bible Baptist Church meets. And on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I'm currently preaching through the book of 2 Timothy. And then on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs. And so invite you to come out for that. All right, well, we're going to get into a couple of things here. Like I said, in Luke chapter 17, if you're there, we're going to look in Luke chapter 17, starting here in verse number 26. Now, set the context here. We are in a situation where Jesus is giving some information he was asked actually by the Pharisees about when the kingdom of God would come, and he's talking about some things that would happen in the latter days, and he makes this statement in Luke chapter 17, verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noe, and that's N-O-E, that's the rendition from Noah in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis chapter 6, where Noah is introduced to us, and he says, as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it also or be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noe entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. He also continues on in verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, this passage, and it's kind of interesting as I was reading through this, it also appears in Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus again says in Matthew 24, verse 37, but as it the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And the difference, though, is that it was spoken at a different time. I was looking at this because in Matthew chapter 24, this is just before his betrayal, before his crucifixion, and all of those events were taking place at that time. But in Luke chapter 17, after he speaks these words, we find that eventually in chapter 19 heads to Jericho, and so it's obviously this is something that he had said more than once, and so it's repeated in the Bible twice. And I remember many people have always said in the past, preachers and Bible teachers, if Jesus repeats something twice, it must be important. And so this is the phrase, and we understand what it was like in the days of Lot and the homosexuality and things that was rampant, as it is today. But that's not the part we're going to get into right now. The part we're going to get into right now is concentrate on this, as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now, a lot of times people look at this and they believe that this is a statement of what it's going to be like immediately before the Lord returns to the earth in the second coming, which takes place at the end of the tribulation period. Now, of course, if you've read the book of Revelation, you'll realize that the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls that are poured out on the earth, there's a number of judgments that take place on the earth, or I'm sorry, vials that are poured out on the earth. And during the course of these things, there's tremendous natural disasters that take place. There's meteor showers that take place. There's that looks like the potential of an asteroid or a large meteor hitting the earth, or perhaps even a comet, and different things that take place. Wars and rumors, or not just rumors of wars, but wars and conflicts and pestilence and large numbers of people dying and earthquakes immediately before the Lord returns, an earthquake greater than has ever been felt on the earth before. And in fact, Jesus said that except those days be shortened, there wouldn't be anybody that would survive it. And so as a consequence, look at the contrast, I should say, in Luke 17, when Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. It says, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. What he's talking about there is normal life. They ate, they drank, they In other words, they had people over, they entertained people, they had parties, they had meals with their families. They were giving people away in marriage. They were marrying people. It was like life as we see it today. And this happened in Noah's day until the flood came. And we always look at Noah and his family being caught up in the ark as a type of the rapture of the church. So this is telling us what events are going to be like before the rapture takes place. So if it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah, then we need to go back to Genesis chapter 6. And in Genesis chapter 6, and I recently put together an article on this, and I encourage you to read it. You can go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and at livewithpastoral.com, click on the article, As in the Days of Noah. And I touch on this a little bit there, because it tells us in Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now that's not man's lifespan, that's how much longer God was going to give the human race, 120 years. He says again, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then he says in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, what I wanted to look at here is when Jesus said that the time before the return, where he returns for us, and you can read about that at length in the last half of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and also in the last third or so of the Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will not go there right now, but in the events that are going to be taking place, not only will life be taking place, and it is right now, people are marrying and giving in marriage, people are eating and drinking, people are going about life right now, but we also have some other characteristics here that we can see. And we see that there's violence in the earth. Look at last summer and the riots that were taking place, the Antifa and BLM riots, cities burning. There are some cities like Portland, Oregon, that are still under siege. The Antifa recently put out a video saying that the mayor of Portland doesn't kowtow to their every demand, basically they threaten to kill the mayor of Portland. And we're seeing violence throughout the world. We look at some of the things that are going on with some of our so-called leaders, and you can see the thoughts of their heart, only evil continually. Joe Biden, who's supposed to be a good Catholic. Now, I'm not a fan of the Catholic Church. I have serious problems with their theology. But one thing that they do, for the most part, have right is the sanctity of life. They believe that life begins at conception and that abortion is murder. And so now we've got the president, who's supposed to be a good Catholic, and the Speaker of the House, who claims she's a good Catholic too, and both of them seem to be doing everything they can to further abortion in any way possible. I'm sorry, the Proverbs chapter 6 talks about abominations to God, and one of them is hands that shed innocent blood. And when you are complicit in pushing the abortion agenda, you have hands that shed innocent blood. And Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden have hands that shed innocent blood in that sense. And so their hearts are only evil continually. But here's another thing that's kind of curious, and this is the thing that we have, and where it talks about in Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, this is a question that comes up frequently. What are the sons of men and what are, or I'm sorry, the sons of God and the daughters of men? Again, if you'll go to my website, livewithpastoral.com, you can read the article as In the Days of Noah. I go into this in much greater detail, but we have a couple of options here. One of them is that the sons of God were the descendants of Shem, and the daughters of men were the descendants of Cain, and you know, the godly line and the ungodly line. But that becomes problematic. I'm not going to take the time to go into it. But oftentimes, when you allow Scripture to interpret Scripture, we find out that the phrase the sons of God is used in the book of Job, in Job chapter 1, verse 6, where it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." We see the same thing again in Job chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, in Job 2, verse 1, "Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord." And then one more time, Job uses this phrase again, and it's in Job chapter 38, toward the end, where it says in Job 38, verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Now, this is three times in the book of Job where sons of God is referring to angels, angelic beings. Now, remember, there's two types of angelic beings that we need to be concerned about here. There's the fallen angels and the unfallen, or we could put it the unholy and the holy angels. Satan, of course, chief of the fallen angels, chief of the unholy angels. He is an angelic being. He was created by God, and he fell and into sin. And so we know that there's a number of them that have done that. And so the possibility then is that Genesis chapter 6 is talking about somehow, some way, these fallen angels have married the daughters of men, or at least had children with the daughters of men, that would be the human women. And then as a result, these were the giants that were in the earth. Now, Jesus had said that the angels do not marry and do not have children. And so as a consequence, it seems unlikely that they themselves fathered children directly, but I think it's much more likely that they probably, everything from influence to control to possessed human men, and we could look at this as potentially what the devil was trying to do, what these fallen angels were trying to do, was to destroy the human gene pool. Now, it took us until the 20th century to discover DNA was the molecule in our body whereby genetic traits are passed down, where traits are passed down from one generation to the next. Before Watson and Crick identified the DNA molecule, they thought it was some kind of protein or something. But DNA is essentially the master plan for a living organism. And the DNA gets split open, and messenger RNA is formed, which carries the instructions outside of the nucleus of the cell, and it forms proteins, and then the proteins are transported around and do various things and to help construct an organism and keep it going. So in the beginning, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they fell into sin, a curse was placed upon humanity, and by one man, death entered into the world and death by sin. But in addition to that, there was a prophecy made. And God had said to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, a prophecy where there was a curse against the serpent that was, remember, that Satan appeared as a serpent. And if you think about it, anytime you see a snake slithering through the dirt on its belly, you're seeing a reminder of what happened in the Garden of Eden. You ever think about that? As that snake slithers around, no legs, You're seeing a stark reminder of when God said to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:14, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Then he says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Well, the devil has tried to destroy humanity and tried to keep the Messiah from being born. And for time's sake, we have to gloss over a lot of this. Again, encourage you to check out my article at livewithpastoral.com. But this enmity that is between the devil and between the fallen angels and God and the Messiah. The devil has tried constantly to keep the Messiah from coming. And so one of the ways I believe that he did this was to muddy up humanity's DNA, his gene pool, in such a way. Now, the devil knows what DNA is. He understands the basics of that. He knew all of that. And we see the results of these relationships. He says in Genesis 6, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. Now, we've crossbred dogs, and we've produced everything from a little dachshund or chihuahua to a Great Dane or an English Mastiff, huge dogs. We've done the same thing with horses, everything from small ponies to huge draft horses. We've done the same thing with oxen, and we've done the same thing with numbers of other animals and plants. We have crossbred and selectively bred them to basically turn them into things that you would not recognize. If somebody did not know about the different breeds of dogs and dug up the fossilized remains of a Chihuahua and a Great Dane, there's no way they'd ever call them the same species. Likewise, if somebody dug up Og, the king of Bashan, and saw his bones, and then dug up somebody who was afflicted with dwarfism and dug up their bones, they would no way say they're the same species, if you get the picture here. But let me come down, because we're running out of time quickly here. The devil was trying to keep the Messiah from coming by destroying humanity in some fashion. And I think this is just one way that he was able to do this. But let me come down to Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, where it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then he says, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Not only was Noah a believer, a just man, and walking with God, but this phrase, perfect in his generations, is rather interesting. This is my belief. I believe that Noah was of a line of people that had not had their DNA muddied up by the effect of what the devil was doing when the sons of God were fathering children with the daughters of men. I believe that Noah was perfect in his generations, meaning he had a pure line of DNA. And that would also assume that his wife, as well as his three sons' wives, did as well. And this is showing that God's taking care to make sure that the line of the Messiah is protected and established, so that one day, in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a woman and fulfilled that proto-gospel in Genesis chapter 3 to be our Savior. I hope he's your Savior. Investigate the claims. Put your faith in Christ if you haven't. Thanks for listening today. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.